Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome aboard. It's the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe here until 1 o'clock. The press box is in the rearview mirror. Now we can really get after it on this here program.
Totally different show. I was kind of going to take the liberal side of every take for the first 2 hours. Now I'm going to spin it and be the conservative pundit for the last hour.
Or is the Ball family wrong?
Correct.
Go. Hot takes. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We'll argue about it. It's the Midday Grind here. One of our sponsors, the Cardinals, because they have those Cardinal ticket packages online at cardinals.com. Hashtag holiday. You have the Cubs package, the Sunday package, the Friday package, five packs of games. Buy those tickets now for the holidays. Cardinals.com/holiday. Joining us now is the Fox. Boy, I did such a great lead in on Jeff Rainford. I feel now I'm going to butcher this. He is the, I don't want to say the everyman because that doesn't do it justice.
Lead play by play, baseball,
thank you.
Football, audience network,
legendary announcer.
Ball.
Golf? Oh, my God. Charlie, why do you hate golf?
I love golf.
Doesn't sound like it. Joe Buck is with us. Joe, how are you?
Hi, kids. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it's funny. I was talking to our producer in the top of the hour break, and we're, you know, passing along your phone number, and I was thinking, we got to get you a really cool number. Didn't your dad, wasn't his number like 969 Buck or something for many
years? Close. It was 962 Buck.
That was the phone number, and like he said,
for our house, and he was so proud one day when I don't know how we got that. I don't know who he knew or who he would have talked to get that number, but he came down. We were living off Mason and Clayton, and he came down the steps into the basement. He's like, "We got a new number, 962 Buck."
And the weird thing,
okay, well, that's not going to be hard to remember.
And the weird thing is, we were probably still dialing the, so it wasn't as cool as like, well, maybe you're a little younger than me. Maybe it was.
No, they were still, it was not the rotary phone, okay. It was the punch button phone, but yeah.
Well, we got to get.
It was well before it was programmed into anybody's iPhone.
Right.
That way.
Was anybody calling randomly like, hey, is this really the Buck House? Because I would think that probably the word would spread.
I would think the word would spread. And yeah, I'm sure people did randomly call. I don't remember any random calls, but the way my dad was, whoever randomly called, he probably talked to him for 20.
Joe, we do have a lot we want to get to with you. And next week, I mentioned this earlier, there is the Ford Frick Award. This is an unbelievable list, and you're one of the nominees for Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame, the 2018 Ford Frick Award. You, Bob Costas, Buddy Blattner, Dizzy Dean, Don Drysdale, Al Michaels, Joe Morgan, Pee Wee Reese, I would think you have to be blown away just to be on that list. I know that sounds cliche, but that really is a remarkable list of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. My God, it's nothing that I ever thought about. And when it came along and I got on that list, however I got on that list, I was honored for sure. And of all the events that I went to where my parents were involved and my dad was being honored or whatever, being in Cooperstown in 1987 when he went in was a moment that none of us in the family will ever forget, but me in particular. I think he mentioned me during his speech and seeing him, the day was absolutely perfect. Jerry Clinton, the late Jerry Clinton, was nice enough to fly us up to Cooperstown on his plane. And just being there and seeing the pride that he had going into the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's just emblazoned on my mind. And so if that ever were to come to pass, that'd be great. But just getting on the list is cool. I've done a lot of World Series. I've done 20 of them and a bunch of All-Star games. I don't know how many, 19 or 20 of those. And, it'd be awesome to go in, but I'm not holding my breath.
You're coming off a World Series. We had another seven games. This is back-to-back. We're scintillating series. Great storylines involved with both. I just feel like, and I know for years the narrative was baseball, it's too long, it's boring, kids don't play it. I'm sure there's still some issues for the game, but I feel like it's a little bit on an upswing. I know some of the money that's coming in, the digital revenue, like, is on the upswing. I feel like baseball is in kind of a bounce-back period. I don't know if I can quantify that, but do you get that sense?
I don't disagree with that at all. I do get that sense, and I do wear a lot of hats at Fox, and obviously football now is kind of asking a lot of questions as to what's wrong with the ratings, why isn't the ratings, I guess in general, why aren't they going up as they have every other year, and now for the second year in a row they're ticking downward. I guess that was probably inevitable because I think everybody's attention has been splintered more and more as time has gone on. And, you know, I guess the bigger point is if you go back in the 80s and you think about the top primetime shows like The Cosby Show or whatever it might be, even Friends after that, those numbers were off the charts. And what's considered the number one drama on TV or whatever in primetime doesn't hold a candle to what the ratings were back in the day with, as I said, The Cosby Show or whatever. So that being said, I think we're just dealing with a different viewing public. And the NFL, the numbers are still massive, but they're not what they were a couple of years ago. And I would expect they'll continue to I guess, tick downward, not jump downward. But, I, you know, for baseball, it seems like it is kind of at a different time now. And the World Series has been a big help. I've never had more random conversations with people who were living and dying with every pitch that had no dog in the fight. That's always been kind of the knock against baseball. If your team's out of it, are you really watching? Do you care if Houston's playing L.A.? And this past year, the numbers, the ratings were phenomenal. Fox was thrilled. Baseball was thrilled. And people cared, even if they weren't a fan of either one of the two teams. And that's kind of different than it's been, let's say, 5 years ago.
And, Joe, calling so many different sports at this point in your career, do you get more excited about a Super Bowl or the World Series or the U.S. Open because you haven't done as many?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think each time it's – I think each time when the season rolls around, and if I'm getting ready to do a Super Bowl, it's like, oh my God, there's nothing like this. There's nothing bigger. But then you get to a game seven in a World Series, and you get ready that day, and you go to the ballpark, and you're doing your scorebook before the first pitch, and you're like, my God, there's just nothing bigger than this. And then for me, you know, the biggest challenge is, as you say, the U.S. Open. I've done three, and I think we've gotten vastly better year by year, but it's still new, and it's still a lot of moving parts on a big playing field. And so that's kind of the bigger personal challenge. But as far as what's the biggest, it's kind of what's sitting in front of you. And I think if you treat it any differently than that, I think you're going to be in trouble eventually. I think you have to treat whatever you're doing, whether it's a bass fishing tournament or an interview on Undeniable or the U.S. Open or whatever, I have to prepare that for that like I have to prepare for the Super Bowl for 120 million people.
See, Joe brought that up because I always go bass fishing. I usually wait a couple of minutes into the interview. It's a veteran move so he doesn't hang up on us, but I usually bring up the bass fishing, and Joe beat me to the punch. I apologize.
Well, those are the harder ones. I've done Robbie Knievel jumping over limousines, and I've done bass fishing, and the U.S. Open pales in comparison, at least in my world, getting ready for a live bass fishing tournament on national television. That is about as intimidated as I've ever been, sitting in front of a camera not knowing what the hell I'm talking about.
You mentioned Undeniable, and you get to call big-time games, but in the play-by-play booth, everything is quick. You know, there's a pitch, there's a catch, there's a touchdown, there's a field goal, and yet I know you, and you like to talk to people and have the little more in-depth conversations, so you're able to scratch that itch with the Undeniable program. The most recent, I believe, David Robinson is featured. How long is the actual taping? Because I think you told us once that you'll sit and just talk forever and then eventually have to whittle it down.
Yeah, and thank God I don't have to whittle it down. But sometimes I think Brett Favre is still the record holder, but that was 3.5 hours that was whittled down into one. And I think it just depends on how you want to present the interview, because there's a lot of real poignant moments within anybody's conversation over 2.5, 3 hours. There are also a lot of light moments. There are also a lot of, I guess meaningless moments, but if you combine them all, it kind of gives you another side of somebody's personality. If they're willing to talk about it, and if it's something that's important enough to them to go in depth with, I think you can make a pretty good argument that it should be in the show. The problem is you've got timing issues and you just can't put it all in. So I don't know if it's Stockholm syndrome where they just fall in love with their captor and eventually they just kind of give up any sort of a fight. But eventually you get tears out of most people and you get the stuff that the people haven't heard. And I guess that's the real value of the show, just because of the length of time. These guys don't sit down for conversations like that, and eventually you uncover something that they've never said before.
And most people, they can find it. It's Audience Sports, DirecTV, I think AT&T. The easiest thing is probably just to Google Undeniable and find out the local listings. For the third year maybe of the show?
Well, third year of me doing it, but we've got 5 seasons done. So the one that's airing now is actually 2 sittings ago that we did. And I think the next guest or the one after that is Brett Hull. So of the ones that we've done, and I could be wrong about that. I have a list, and not that you care, but I could text it to you. But the whole one is great. I mean, of all the ones that we did in that season, obviously I'm friends with Brett. I've been lucky enough to know him since he came to St. Louis way back when. And I think that brings out a different side. So if I'm sitting across Troy Aikman, who I'm with every week and who I know better than most anybody walking the earth, I think I can do a different type interview than they would do with somebody that might be a little more intimidated with asking them questions that they're worried the person doesn't really want to answer. And the same with Brett. And Brett was so funny and so good, which we all know him to be, that people that didn't know him out in L.A. were like, man, of that season, for a lot of people that were editing the show, Brett was their most favorite. So that I'm anxious to see how that one turned out.
And I think his number was 962 Hull. We used to just call him up to do the Sunday shows, 962 Hull.
Yeah, that works.
Try that. Anybody on the list that you're still chasing that you guys have been close or didn't work out or just doesn't want to do it that you would love to sit with?
I personally walked over at a playoff game in Carolina a couple years ago and talked to Michael Jordan about doing it. And he couldn't have been nicer. I walked over with Troy so I could get in the door. But I said, hey, I'm doing this show. And he said, I'm not doing that. You already know everything about me. And the thing is, I think there's that one person that's gotten up out of that chair that hasn't said, man, I'm glad I did that, because it's something that their kids can have. It's something that people that they're kind of fringe friends with, or fans who might have the wrong impression of them, like Alex Rodriguez, that they're glad for the venue and the opportunity to speak at length. So, again, I said, no, believe me, it would be worthwhile, and he kind of gave me the stiff arm, so I'll just leave it at that.
I heard him say he was doing Benzinger instead. I don't want to rub it in. I don't want to make it problems.
He might.
The booking wars.
Benzinger's list is better than ours. He gets more headlines than we get, for God's sake, so good for him.
And Benzinger is on Fox, too, Sunday night.
Correct, every
right?
Sunday night. That's right. We promote it during Sports Funnel on Sundays.
Is that right? Well, he went through me to get to John Hamm, so obviously His list is changing. He's gone from Terrell Owens to John Hamm.
Joe, a lot of discussion after the Monday Night Football game, Steelers and Bengals, just about kind of, and we've talked about it a lot over the last few years, the violence of football, where some of these hits were legal football hits, where unfortunately guys were injured. Other ones, you know, you could call dirty hits, and it just brings up the topic we've all discussed a lot about just the violence of football. And I have to admit, I love the game of football, but watching that game and you're seeing some of these hits on replays, you're kind of cringing watching that game.
Yeah, I think we're all just more educated than we were 5, 6, 7 years ago. At least I am. with regard to the long-term ramifications of shots to the head like that. And I work with a guy in Troy Aikman that got a lot of headlines a couple of years ago when he said if he had boys, he wouldn't let his boys play football. Now, Troy will tell you that he retired because of a bad back, not because of head injuries. But it's something that's literally on his mind. And, you know, who knows for people that have played that game at that level. When you see shots to the head like the one to Antonio Brown at the end of the game by George Iloka, who, by the way, won his appeal of his suspension and is not going to be suspended. That was on the, I guess, the game-tying touchdown. I don't know how you can do anything but cringe, and it kind of takes your breath away. And then of all the hits, it was the one that Ryan Shazier made. That who knows where that story goes. And my God, I hope he's okay. But it just seemed like it bled into the category of dirty. And I think now that we know what these hits do, these guys have to have more respect for one another than to go headhunting at that speed, at that size. And again, I mean, now that we know what we know, and we probably don't know now what we will know in 5 years about long-term head trauma like that and the effects of it, I don't know how you can watch that and not be moved to think that these guys need to take better care of each other, let alone themselves.
In the big NFL game this weekend, you'll see it on Fox 2, the afternoon game. Game of the week, it's the Rams and Eagles. Joe and Troy on the call. Before we let you go, any Brockmeyer updates? Charlie's personal friends with Richard Lewis, which is supposed to get us
That's
to
not
some
true.
Curb Your Enthusiasm discussion on the show, but he keeps postponing that. What about Hank's also a friend of the show, Hank Azaria, mm-hmm. although he's only been on once. Any updates as far as future appearances?
I have made my season two taping. It is. I'm in the books. I'm on their list, so I'm in it. I'm a part of Jim Brockmeyer's intervention. But it's not important enough to me to miss a women's senior skins event. So I am via iChat dipping into their intervention. The real story is I was supposed to be there and couldn't make it work schedule-wise, so they just came to one of my games and we did it from there. But it's funny. I mean, the writing is so good. It's dark. It's not really good kid viewing, but it's really, I think, well done. I think Hank's blown away by how good the writing has been, and it's gone from a 5-minute little feature on Funny or Die to at least 2 seasons of full fleshed out characters with actresses like Amanda Peet and others. I don't think he in a million years would have believed that this was possible. It's a really good show, I think.
Joe, great to talk to you. Have fun in L.A. this weekend. We'll be watching the game on Fox. Oh, by the way, Iggy wanted me to know if Lady Gaga was the best halftime show ever. These are final notes here on this visit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a real question?
No, Iggy, I swear to Iggy. Iggy, actually, he's on a smoke break, and he texted me, was Gaga the best halftime show ever? I'm assuming that was for you and not me.
The best halftime show. I was doing the game, and when I'm doing the game, that's my own smoke break, even though I don't smoke. So I kind of wander around the back of the booth and kind of take a break. So for me to say that I was watching every moment of that would be a lie. My daughters loved it. I'm sure my daughters and Iggy have similar tastes in a lot of things. So they thought it was great.
That's very, very true. Great. You have no idea how true that is. All right, Joe, thanks so much for the time. If we don't talk to you, have a great Christmas.
All right, you too. See you.
All right, thanks. Joe Buck, the voice of Fox Sports, be it golf, Charlie hates golf, football, baseball, a Ford Frick finalist. How could you not be blown away when you see your name on the list with Bob Costas and Al Michaels and Joe Morgan and Buddy Blattner and Dizzy Dean? That award is coming out next week. And again, that football game is on the 2 Fox this Sunday. Sometimes people complain, oh, you guys got the Rams on. Why is Martin showing the Rams? As if Martin's back there with a giant lever, you know. Poop. This
change
week
games.
It's the big game. The Eagles at 10-2 against the 9-3 Rams. NFC playoff positioning on the line. I don't want to give away my picks for Sunday, Chuck.
Oh.
But I think Carson Wentz is going to put on a show in the Jared Goff Carson Wentz showdown.
Well,
and I'm going to go Eagles
personally, because Jared Goff is my starting fantasy quarterback. I need him to put up some points, some yards, preferably some touchdown passes there. Text line, Martin. Wow, bass fishing and Stockholm Syndrome reference in the same interview. I love Joe Buck. Somebody else, so this is from earlier. Text read from text line, 0. Text from Charlie's personal phone, 10. Big show today, fellas. They're complaining about my lack of reading the text line.
Because Chuck is my assistant, so to be honest, if he doesn't read the text line, it doesn't get done. When we come back, we'll read the text line. We also have the Spags audio that we've been double deep teasing. I can't wait for this, to be honest, because on the list, Gardner has the list, and one of them says lessons he's learned, because he was a head coach, we know, in St. Louis, and now he's an interim head coach again. Can't wait to hear that. It's all coming up here on the Midday Grind.